everyone. This is NASCAR driver Kenny Wallace and Fox Sports analyst. You are on the road with Dane and WGN.
Come on, show me. 720 WGN on the road with Dane, and on the road with us while he is on the road is one of the favorite personalities and drivers of NASCAR, part of one of the first families of racing, whether it's on the track, on Sirius XM's Late Shift, on TV for Fox covering all the action, or in the stands cheering his beloved Cardinals on. On the line with us, we've got the one and only Kenny Wallace. Welcome to WGN.
I love you all. I love Chicago. I just want to let you know that, and thanks for having me on.
Well, you may love Chicago, but one of your first loves, obviously racing, grew up in a racing family, your dad raced, your brothers raced, and you've made a life out of racing. But one of your first loves, you do love those St. Louis Cardinals, though.
You know, I understand the rivalry that we have with Chicago. I want to make sure everybody knows that first. But I have no ill will at all towards those Cubs, and congratulations on your World Series. But you're right. I'm no different than any loyal, longtime Cubby fans. You know, I was born in the city of St. Louis, about 5 miles from Busch Stadium. And, you know, it's like a religion to us. You know, we don't do a good job at keeping football teams. So the Cardinals are my life. That is for sure.
And I've heard through our mutual friend, Julie Boucher, that there's a good chance that you'll be in the stands on opening day.
I will. I definitely will be. And, you know, as you mentioned, I work for Fox Sports, and they are letting me off this week. Our NASCAR race is at Martinsville. And so, you know, I always do the pre-race show, and so now they're going to tape it. I'm going to tape my pre-race, which is called Where's Wallace? I was hoping to have our ace pitcher, Adam Wainwright, stand next to me, but I got to do it at 9:30 on Sunday morning, and the Cardinals play your Cubbies about 7:30, so I don't think that's going to happen.
You know, as you know, travel the country in the world of racing, baseball is, you know, known as America's pastime. But racing is one of those things. Baseball has had its ups and downs, and racing has certainly had its ups and downs over the years. But in recent years, you know, obviously it is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, spectator sports. Talk about the comparison of the fans. A lot of times you have people grow up in racing. They aren't maybe, you know, fans of, as you guys always call them, you know, the stick and ball sports. But what is the comparison between the baseball fan and the racing fan?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I think I need to start a couple years ago when ESPN said, okay, we are not going to buy NASCAR. However, NBC was lined up and ready to buy it, couldn't wait to buy it. So Sam Flood, who is the president, you know, of NBC, there is a great article. And he said, you know, NBC bought NASCAR because it's the second biggest sport in the United States. And I went, whoa, well, let me check into this. And it's true. You know, I never realized that NASCAR had a bigger viewing audience, more people in the grandstands than my beloved baseball, you know, or NHL. And it was really strange to read something like that. But I would say, you know, sometimes some of my friends will say, how do you like that baseball? It's such a slow-moving game. And I said, well, I know the game. You know, if there's a runner on first with two outs, you know, most likely what manager is going to have that player try to steal second. You know, if you know the game, you can really enjoy it. Same thing with NASCAR. If you know the game, it's really a lot of fun. You know, cars are running around in circles, and sometimes on road courses, and sometimes at Daytona and Talladega, where we run speeds of 200 mile an hour. And you got to know, are they going to pit? Are they going to run out of gas? Are they going to put on tires? And that's really how I would compare baseball and NASCAR. They sometimes might move a little slow, but boy, they're really exciting if you know the game.
You know, and I think part of it is getting people to be able to understand, get invested in, and getting to know, you know, the drivers, a little bit of the personality, the stories behind, a little bit behind the drivers. You know, people identify with the products, let's say, you know, like the Bud car, or the Tide car, you know, people identify with that, and people identify with the drivers on the tracks as well. One of the things that we, you know, are looking to do with this show is to highlight kind of that backstory, the personalities of the driver outside of the car. You know, you get a lot of the stuff, you know, during the broadcast as far as what's happening in the race, but to help them tell those stories. And that's one of the reasons why I thought it was so important to have you on, because you are one of those individuals that, you know, regardless of what was happening, like your personality came through. People feel like they really know you, and you were able to share who you were as a driver and not just what you did on the track.
Yeah, you know, you don't plan it that way. You just end up being like that. You know, let me just say this. Your center fielder, Dexter Fowler, who now is playing for our Cardinals, I literally just read an article about Dexter Fowler about 30 minutes ago. And John Mozeliak, our general manager down here, he says he's never seen a guy like Dexter, where Dexter is friends with everybody. And I really hit home for me because, you know, it's not my objective to be friends with everybody. You know, I just am. And that helped me in my career. And it also helped me because, you know, we need sponsors to keep these race cars going. It takes money, no different than it takes money to keep a ball team going. You know, sometimes it's, you know, the fans in the grandstands is not enough, you know, to pay these salaries. So I've always been nice to everybody just because that's the way I was born.
Yeah. You know what, though? It is one of those things that people feel like, you say you're friends with everybody, people that you will never meet, you know, the millions of people that watch and enjoy what it is that you do on television, either on the broadcasting side, certainly loved what you did on the track side. They feel like they know you, too. I don't know what it is. It's just an intangible thing. Like you said, you didn't necessarily plan it that way. And I've got to tell you, Dexter Fowler is, you know, he's one of, like, our favorite players. Personally, our family, he was one of our favorite players. I actually got a chance to catch his 13th home run. I was in the bleachers one game this last season.
Awesome.
He doesn't hit a ton of them, and so it was great. But what you guys have there is something that I don't know if we'll really fully understand exactly what we've lost. He's one of those greater than the sum of the parts guys, but he is a table setter. He is glue within the clubhouse. I mean, you guys are going to benefit greatly from having him on the team.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, with the way the business of we always call it free agency. It pulls on our heartstrings. You know, when we lost Albert Pujols, it was a crushing blow to me. I had a lot invested into him. You know, he was such a good man, coming from, the Dominican Republic, and he really appreciated being over here in the United States and everything that it had to offer. And my God, I spent a lot of money, getting batting practice with him and giving money to his charity. So when we lose these players, It's brutal, and it becomes much more than a game. And I feel bad that you all lost Dexter, but you know we've gone through it too, and unfortunately, it's the rough part of baseball.
Yeah, take the labels off the teams. One thing we can kind of understand and see is that the success that you guys have had is undeniable. And you guys lose, you know, managers and great players on a pretty regular basis, but always retool and are always competing and winning championships. So that's one of the things that, you know, you're going to lose some players, right? And we got a couple players from the Cardinals, you know, John Lackey and Jason Hayward, and, you know, things worked out. You guys, I'm not really worried about the Cardinals. You got a great fan base and certainly, you know, great management teams, front office and all that kind of stuff. I'm pretty sure you guys will be all right.
Well, I think the key to it is, you know, let me just back up and say this. I always told my friends, I said, you know, how can you not want something for a team that has, you know, been suffering for so long? And in my heart of all hearts, the Cubs, you know, their hero, your hero should be Theo Epstein, because I think that's one of the keys to the Cardinals at least being competitive, is getting the right general manager, you know, because when it comes down to it, you know, that's really the boss. I mean, it rules it all. So congratulations on getting Theo. And I just saw that, my gosh, didn't he get an incredible award the past week?
Is that even possible? Kenny, and so to let the listeners know, we're talking, of course, with NASCAR legend, broadcasting aficionado and racing superstar Kenny Wallace. And, of course, you know, one of St. Louis's favorite sons with a big heart, though, and a soft spot for the mighty Cubs. But Kenny, I know that you can throw accolades on somebody, but like Theo Epstein, is it possible he is the greatest leader in the world?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm laughing with happiness for y'all, because listen, I believe he could be, because you know, what is it, 25 men on a roster for baseball, and you got to put them all together and you got to narrow it down. And you know, it'd be one thing if he did this once, but he went to Boston, and Boston had not won in 86, 87 years, right? So he comes to you all, and you all, the Cubs have not won in 108 years. So, yes, I do believe Theo is proving that he is the greatest leader in the United States, maybe he needs to be the damn president of the United States.
We'll have to maybe start that petition and get him nominated. Kenny, hold tight. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more with Kenny Wallace here on the road with Dane on 720 WGN. WGN, and we are back on the road with Dane, and we've been talking with NASCAR great and longtime Cardinals resident, well, St. Louis resident, Cardinals fan, the one and only Kenny Wallace. We finally got him out of the wind. You out of the wind now, Kenny?
I finally realized that I needed to get in my tractor trailer and head to the racetrack. We're doing some testing here, and when I left, I started getting closer to the tractor trailer. My team was looking at me like, I know you're on the most famous radio station in the world, WGN, but you got to come on, Herm. So just consider it part of the radio show.
Okay. So here's the thing, Kenny. You have always been about entertainment. Racing is entertainment. It's a great spectator sport. You have been an entertainer. And so with the rule changes that they brought in with the new Monster Energy Series, like, how do you look at that? Do you look at it as this is something that's going to affect racing a little bit, but you got to take it in stride, but it's going to add, I think, to the entertainment for the fans?
You brought up something earlier, and you made a good point, where baseball has had its up-and-down moments, and definitely NASCAR has had its high moments and down moments. So this new stage racing, we are still trying to gain the fans back. You know, our ratings are down. You know, our fan viewership is down. And so we're trying. You know, also like NHL, you know, nobody liked NHL hockey ending in a tie. Nobody, you know, liked overtime because it was so long. You know, and now they're 3-on-3, you know, and trying to get these games over. And we are doing the same thing in NASCAR. We are constantly trying to be better. But in the end, it's also making some people mad that, you know, it's so different.
Well, the purists out there are going to say those things, but ultimately, like you said, it is entertainment and it is a business. I actually like it. You know, it gives some different opportunities. It makes, and because we all remember those days where, you know, sometimes if somebody got out to a big lead in the season, you know, those last handful of races were kind of irrelevant. And so this kind of keeps it going. You got that with the chase, and now you're making each and every part of the race relevant so people can kind of get some points going throughout the course of it. I personally think it's exciting.
It makes me happy to hear your viewpoint because, you know, I live, eat, and breathe this sport. I'm in the garage area every week. You know, of course, I race 905 NASCAR races, and sometimes I can get jaded. Sometimes I'm too close to it. But what I will say is this. We've had five races, and all five races have come down to the last five laps. And yep. I don't think that's a coincidence now. I you know, if you had two or three, I could go, it's a coincidence, but we've had five races that have come down to it, and I think it's a lot because we're regrouping, you know, and at the end of the race, instead of these guys going 100 laps, you know, they're going 30 laps. And I think that's why the finishes are so exciting.
I couldn't agree with you more. Before we let you go, and road trip destinations for so many fans in racing are the track, and they head out to tracks all around the country, no matter how far they are, in the RV and all that kind of stuff. The tailgating is insane. It is legendary. But as a kid growing up, people have been sharing it, you know, all the different guests that we've had on. Did you guys, you know, with your dad and your parents and your brothers, were they road trips, you know, to the tracks to watch races, or did you guys do the whole, like, Yosemite National Park thing ever?
You know what? I have to say that we were a bunch of rednecks. We really were. You know, it's not that I'm proud of it. And, you know, a redneck is somebody that stays greasy all the time, working on cars or never showers. And unfortunately, that was us. We lived, eat, and breathe these race cars. And, you know, we never went fishing. We might have went to Six Flags over Mid-America a couple times, but, you know, we never even went to the races as fans. We raced, of course, my brother Rusty Wallace,
right,
my brother Mike, and myself, and even my mom, you know, raced in Powder Puff. So my dad started it all, and, yeah, that was us. And actually, years ago, I went back to the home that we grew up in, and it just wasn't looking very nice. And I said to my mom, I said, Mom, were we rednecks? And she laughed, and she said, Unfortunately, Kenny, yes, we were.
Yeah. No, but it is a great legacy, and the sport could not ask for a better or more genuine, we brought up the entertaining side, but more genuine ambassador for it. And it's the kind of thing that I know that you know this. You're a very humble guy, and you get out there, but people love what it is that you do, whether it's on the radio side, on XM, and certainly on the broadcasting side. Last question, and I know the answer may be one of the race cars that was just around because of the older brothers and the dad, but what was your first car? Did you have a surprising first car that maybe people could identify or relate to, or was it a race car?
Yeah, it was. My first passenger car was really interesting. My brother, Rusty Wallace, his wife is Patty Wallace, but Patty's mom had a 1968 Chevelle. Nice. And it was a very ugly green, and I was very fortunate. I was given the car, and I wished I would have had it back nowadays, but I was so broke and going from one thing to the next. But that was my very first passenger car, and I wished I would have worked on it and souped it up a little bit, but I was too busy working on race cars.
Hey, that's nothing to sneeze at. 68 Chevelle, regardless of what color it was, is pretty great, as is the stuff that you're doing for Fox and all the media stuff that people enjoy from Kenny Wall. So, Kenny, I'm going to wish the Cardinals reserved good luck. I want them to have a successful
yep.
season, you know, limited injuries, none of that stuff. Of course, second place, wild card is still good. You know, you can still hope for that in the division.
Hey, let me and you left me with that, and I'll leave you with this. So 2011 – we win 85 games, and we're the worst team going in, and we win it all. So if you can peak at the right time and have all your team healthy at the right time, more wild card teams have won the World Series as of late than not. So congratulations on the Cubs' success, and we'll go at it again this year.
Absolutely. We're going to start on day one with that. Kenny, thanks so much for what you're doing. We'll see you on for anybody who wants to, because you're pretty prolific on social media. If they want to follow you on Twitter and all your adventures, what's the way people can do that?
Yeah, you can follow me on Kenny_Wallace on Twitter. And then, of course, Kenny Wallace official page on Facebook. So we keep everybody informed on what we're up to.
He is the one and only Kenny Wallace. Thanks so much for what you're doing, and thanks for being on WGN today.
Hey, it's an honor, and thank you so much.